soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Blessings. This is December 16th. We had 8 inches of snow the night before last, and it's just starting to melt off now, and we're able to get back on the streets and do a little Christmas shopping. I know I said I was going to take and just rest this month, but there's been something stirring within, and, well, it has a life of its own, and sometimes I just have to follow. Lately, online at least, we have received some messages from some students that are near and dear to us. And when we read of their troubles, it brings forth a response from within us. It brings an emotional response, and we wish that there was something we could do for these dear ones. And it really does feel quite despairing at times. But I'm not sure that this is, although it appears to be very compassionate humanly, I'm not sure that this helps anyone. I happened to pick up the book by Joel Goldsmith, Spiritual Interpretation of Scripture, which was published in 1947, the same year as the original book, The Infinite Way. And I really feel that if a student studied and took one paragraph at a time, or one sentence at a time, all they would need, all he or she would need, is the original book, The Infinite Way, and this one, Spiritual Interpretation of Scripture. And with these two books, they could walk right into the kingdom of heaven and beyond. Nothing else is really necessary. Now, when I pick up a book, I usually, generally, read a paragraph or two and put it down in order to meditate. Something in it calls me to meditation. It calls me within. Christ, the Father within, speaking through Joel, sometimes writing through Joel, calls me to itself. And so I can't read very long before I have to put it aside for a week or two. And this week, receiving these messages online from people that I love, going through difficult times, I picked up this book, which was laying in a stack of books, and I think I see the real solution. In fact, I know I do. And so I'd like to, or I feel nudged to, try and get it across today. And so let's look at page 54 and 55 of Spiritual Interpretation of Scripture by Joel Goldsmith, and the chapter is called Spiritual Development. All right, so we'll just look at these two pages. There is an infinity of blessings on these two pages. And it starts on page 54. It says, "Your good will always appear in the form necessary at the moment. It is not, however, a human good appearing, but rather a spiritual idea upon which you are placing a finite interpretation. And right there, he's drawing our attention. Spirit is drawing our attention to the fact that out of the invisible comes the hidden manna, which appears as our good. And it is the invisible, incorporeal universe appearing. But the mind of man, the mind of woman, the world mind, places a finite interpretation upon it. And so we look at the infinite and see it as finite. He says, as you realize your oneness with God, you will understand that there has never been a sick or sinning person. All disastrous things will continue to appear until you attain a realization of the true nature of your being, which is spirit or God. Now, bearing in mind what was revealed online, this here says all disastrous things will continue to appear until you attain a realization of the true nature of your being, which is spirit. In other words, well, let's read just a little more. First, the experience of the Hebrews under Moses is one of fluctuating human good, good and bad, bad and good. This will be your experience as long as you live only in a realm of demonstrating things and conditions. The Ten Commandments were laws of human good, governing human conduct. It is only as we come consciously into oneness with Spirit that we attain the eternal harmony of spiritual good. All right, so that's only four tiny paragraphs, less than 200 words, maybe right at 200 words. And in that is the complete answer to these fluctuating experiences in our human lives of good today and bad tomorrow, abundance today and penniless tomorrow, well today and sick tomorrow. You see, he gives us the solution when he says you must attain your oneness with God, a realization of the true nature of your being as spirit. You must come consciously into oneness with spirit. The fluctuating good and bad experiences of humanhood will continue, says Joel, says Spirit, says Christ, until you come up into another realm of existence, which is spirit. If we live in humanhood, in a finite, limited human experience, in a sense world, in the world that we can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, we have got to have experiences of good and bad, and good and bad, and alive and dead, and well and sick, and rich and poor. That is the nature of living in that realm. And so the real question is not what principles I can attain or practice or know that will make an inharmonious picture harmonious, not what can I do to turn sickness into health. Sorry about the interruption. I just got a call from my wife telling me she loved me. Now, back to our topic. We will continue to have these fluctuating experiences of sickness to health, death to life, which is reincarnation, until we have a realization of ourselves as spirit, of the universe as spiritual, as until we have a glimpse and find ourselves living in that spiritual realm. It's the only solution I know. I know no other solution. Let's read on, and you'll see what I mean. Jesus' understanding of this is evident of what? Of our need to come into conscious awareness of our oneness with Spirit. Jesus' understanding of this is evident in his refusal to head an army to fight the Romans, in his refusal to set up a temporal kingdom, in his statement, "My kingdom is not of this world," in his refusal to call on material power to save him even from the crucifixion. Jesus was not here to patch up human relationships or bring about a temporal dynasty. His mission was to reveal man's spiritual relationship to God and the spiritual nature of the real universe. Now, this is Christ speaking. And so you might hear this when you read this different than the words you're reading. You might hear this the way I hear this, as if Christ is speaking. And that reads this way: my mission is not to patch up human relationships. Now, this is Christ within you speaking. My mission is not to patch up human relationships or bring about a temporal dynasty. My mission is to reveal your spiritual relationship to God and your spiritual nature as it relates to the real universe. And so, that within you, that invisible spiritual Christ, its mission is to reveal the spiritual nature of the real universe and your spiritual relationship to God. And it has no other mission. If we attain the spiritual, let's see if we can find these words. Hang on a minute. Once we attain a glimpse of the spiritual real universe in our midst, once we feel it, it then forms itself. And even though the mind, the human mind, will still attach a finite sense to it, such as, oh, I got the perfect job, or the perfect person showed up in my life, or the perfect opportunity just opened up, or suddenly the pain left, or suddenly the disease diminished. That's our finite interpretation placed upon the incorporeal spiritual universe. But we mustn't look for the finite interpretations. That's what's meant by "these are the added things." You don't have to tell spirit. That's where he starts here. Your good will always appear in the form necessary at this moment. We don't have to tell spirit what form is necessary. And the seeking of the forms is the error. Our job, if we want to experience the harmony of spirit here and now, is to find the way to come up over the sense world and step consciously into the spiritual real universe or real realm. Now listen. That which appears to sense is our concept of the eternal and real. In other words, you are looking, living in the eternal and real. You're living in God. Is there anything else eternal and real? You're standing in Christ. But the mind, the sense mind, the mind which draws its conclusions from your five senses, what you can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, in other words, the entire world that the mind is living in, that mind shows you a concept or a series of concepts about the eternal, real Christ in which you stand. And so do you see, you don't need to fix concepts. They won't stand still. They won't stay in one place. It's like spinning plates on sticks. You can't do it. You just can't. They fall and they crash. The pendulum in that universe continuously swings from good to bad, from bad to good. Something else is needed. Somehow you have to ascend into the spiritual realm, out of the sense concepts. Because you see, the sense concepts are not a world. They're a series of concepts. In other words, you're stuck in the little human mind, which is the world mind, trying to make it better, trying to struggle to keep your head above water. And it does get tiring. Very tiring. But there comes a point when something in you says, arise, arise. And so we read, that which appears to sense is our concept of the eternal and real. The incorporeal and spiritual temple, body, or universe is seen as finite, corporeal, and material. That sentence is so important. If we take out a couple of words to make it easier to see for a moment, it says, the incorporeal universe is seen as corporeal. Or the spiritual universe is seen as material. What is required for our saving is that we find a way to rise out of the sense mind, seeing a corporeal universe, into the spiritual consciousness, which sees an incorporeal, perfect universe. And so he continues with, now this does not constitute two worlds, but one world. The spiritual and harmonious. The sense world is not a world, but merely your limited sense of the infinite. You're living in a limited sense mind made up of sense concepts. Him, her, she, it, they. Us. Up, down, good, bad, sick, well, rich, poor. American, Russian, Chinese, African, Arabic, Jewish, Buddhist, Christian. I mean, the list can go on. The Tao calls it the 10,000 things. So, he says, the sense world is not a world. It's merely your limited sense of the infinite universe, the infinite spiritual universe. What you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell constitutes the entire illusory sense of reality. So you see, you are living in the mind, which is entertaining an illusory sense of a spiritual universe. You're standing in a spiritual universe, but you're living in a sense mind. Let us realize everything as God appearing in any finite sense as the illusion. He says, when we see railroad tracks come together, the illusion is not out there. That is so hard to get across to the mind, to the human mind. The human mind wants to place the illusion out there, because if you don't place it out there, then you're on to the human mind, and its days are numbered. And the human mind does not want to abdicate its authority. So, the human mind places it out there, and you have a little realization that the human mind is the problem, and then within a day or two or a week or two, again you're seeing the illusion is out there. You just gently drift back into seeing it is out there, and it's not out there. Listen, he can't make it any plainer. When we see railroad tracks come together, the illusion is not out there at the tracks, but in our false limited view of the perfectly placed tracks. The sky is not sitting on the mountain, and the illusion is not out there. That's twice, so you won't miss it. The illusion is not out there where it seems to be. It is your false sense of what you are beholding, what you are looking at. Now listen. He says you cannot get rid of the illusion. You must understand it as illusion and see through it to ever-present reality. Understand that all that appears is God appearing, despite the illusory sense of it you may be momentarily entertaining, and even the illusion will be dispelled. Isn't that strange? He starts this paragraph by saying, you cannot get rid of the illusion. And he ends it by saying, even the illusion will be dispelled, which means even you'll even get rid of the illusion. So he starts by saying, you cannot get rid of the illusion, and he ends it by saying, you'll get rid of the illusion. Now, what the heck? Now, when I read something like that, I say, I missed something here. What is he saying? And I take it apart, a sentence at a time. Now, he says, you cannot get rid of the illusion. Now, look at that for a minute. We are suffering from the sense mind, which we're standing in, or which we're entertaining, is a better way to say that. We're standing in the spiritual universe, but we can't see it. We can't get out of this box in which we're trapped, this tomb of mental concepts. We are trapped in the tomb, but we're standing in a spiritual universe, but we're trapped in a tomb, but we're spiritual, but we're in the tomb, but we're perfect, but we're in the tomb, but we're Christ, but we're in the tomb. You cannot get rid of the tomb. And then along comes Christ and says, within you, I am the resurrection. I, and I alone, am the resurrection. You remember? Martha was upset because Lazarus had died. And you remember Christ saying, now look, didn't I tell you everything's going to be okay? Everything's okay right now? And she says, yes, I know it will at the last day, at the resurrection. And he turned on her, almost sounded a little bit perturbed. He said, I am the resurrection. Shocked her. And then he proved it. Because as soon as Christ says, I am the resurrection, Lazarus comes out of the tomb. Could Lazarus get rid of the illusion? No. Lazarus would still be in that tomb without Christ. So when Joel says, you must understand it as illusion and see through it to the ever-present spiritual reality, you must understand that all that appears is God appearing, despite the illusory sense you're entertaining. He is not talking to the human. The human cannot lift you out of the tomb in which you are buried. Don't you see? You're standing in spirit, but you're locked in the tomb. And there's only one thing that can raise you out of the tomb. One thing that can open your eyes to the spiritual universe, and that's I. I am the resurrection. So when we read here, okay, let's see, what we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is the illusion, but there's really reality here, and we must see that everything as God appearing. Well, the human mind, which is manufacturing these concepts, which is the tomb, the human mind picks up that sentence and walks around with it all day. Okay, I've got to realize everything is God appearing. And so the human mind goes into action, and now it has concept of everything is God appearing. And we take that and we repeat it to ourselves diligently throughout the day. And we walk around and think to ourselves, everything is God appearing. 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 Isn't that a little bit obnoxious? That's how it gets, too. And that's the human mind. The very tomb is repeating now something we read in an Infinite Way book that Joel said, thinking that by its much speaking, it can raise itself out of the tomb, and it can't. And so we walk around repeating statements of truth in the mind, and we get sicker, and our health gets worse, and our finances deteriorate, and we get closer and closer to being penniless, and our relationships break apart. And nobody wants anything to do with us on this downward spiral. It's as if you caught a cold and it's contagious and nobody wants to be around you. You can feel them drifting away. Still, we redouble our efforts. We're going to repeat that to ourselves and meditate on it now. And so we close our eyes and we think, everything is God appearing. This is an illusion. Everything is God appearing. This is all an illusion. Slowly, 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 we place the illusion back out here. And now the human mind, the creator of concepts, is quite comfortable. We're doing all these things. We're praying. We're meditating. Why isn't it working? I don't understand. We forgot. I am the resurrection. I, that divine I at the center of your being, that presence that you feel in your meditations and sometimes while just walking around, that presence, that I, is the only thing that can lift you out of the tomb. So that those looking for you may come someday and be told, she is not here. She is risen. He is not here. He is risen. sense mind has created this sense world, this tomb in which you find yourself. You dwell in the kingdom, the spiritual universe, right now. But if you cannot feel it, see it, taste it, touch it, or smell it, if you do not dwell in it consciously, then for you, you are still buried in a tomb and cannot get out. This will continue, and it may continue for the rest of your days in this tomb this time around. Unless you make the decision that you are now going to move out of the letter of truth, the mind, the tomb, into the spirit. And even when you've decided that that's what you want to do, you cannot lift yourself. You cannot. Lazarus could not bring himself out of the tomb, and neither can you. I am the resurrection. It takes many years to get to this point of readiness. This is the point that Joel was trying to bring us to with the Kailua study series. This was the point that Herb Fitch was trying to bring us to with the Beyond Words and Thoughts series. This is the point that Jesus was trying to bring us through his 3-year ministry. Remember? We started this chapter, or halfway through this chapter. My real mission is to reveal man's spiritual relationship to God and the spiritual nature of the real universe in which man dwells. So, if you've arrived at this point of readiness, then surely you must know that for you, repeating statements of truth throughout the day, or even silently in your meditations, are not going to lift you out of the tomb. And so, it's time to stop that. It's time to be lifted into the Spirit by the Christ. This means, for many of us, a very uncomfortable period, because perhaps we've been clinging so long to statements of truth, repeating them, praying them, even meditating on them. But for those of us just, well, crazy enough to go forward, enough to believe the Master when he said, "Follow me, I am the resurrection," it's time now to take that step. Let the Christ lift you into the spiritual kingdom. And this you do by reminding the mind, when it starts with these statements of truth, "I'm not doing that. You cannot lift me out of you. So be still. I am here. I am silent. and quiet before the Lord. This I that is the resurrection. Father, Christ, lift up the I. Lift me out of the tomb of human concepts into the spiritual kingdom in my midst. Let me see the spiritual realm. Let me feel the reality. Let me know God as an experience, not a thought. Father, lift up I. We do not come into our meditation bringing the human sense mind colored over with spiritual words. We don't bring it. We leave it outside the temple now. I have no words upon which to rely. I have no thoughts upon which to rely. I'm just hanging out here in nothingness. God, if there be a God, lift me up. Christ, thy will be done. I am your way. We are told that 3 or 4 minutes at most, because if the mind starts getting busy again and throwing spiritual truths at you from memory, well, you're back in the tomb, so you might as well open your eyes. But there will come a moment when the mind believes you, and it is still. There will come a moment when there are no words of Scripture, no truth sentences, no words. There will come an instant when there are not even any thoughts. And in that instant, though only a second, I, the resurrection, will lift you up a little higher, and here you behold the kingdom, the invisible kingdom. You behold it with your inner spiritual faculty that the mind knows nothing about. I have meat the mind knows not of, and so I'm not going to describe it. It must be an experience. And the eye lifts you into itself, and you feel spiritual reality right here, in you, through you, around you. It may last only a few seconds, and then the mind says, was that it? And throws a spiritual truth at you, and you stop. You stop. We are learning to live outside of that sense mind and its sense pictures and its fabricated sense world. We're learning to live outside the tomb, perhaps only for a few seconds every other day. But we're learning. Sometimes, after practicing and beginning to catch these glimpses, beginning to be lifted up by the eye, not by anything you know, sometimes when you're walking around, it happens. You're just walking around, maybe in the grocery store, driving down the street, and you feel this upliftment. And for a moment, the mind comes to a standstill, and you feel yourself as if floating in that spiritual kingdom. You feel infinite. You feel at total peace and ease. Christ has brought you to this point of readiness so that you may be lifted out of the tomb. The saints will hear my voice and come out of the graves. You are one of those saints. So, there's nothing wrong with saying, I am ready. I'm ready. I can't do it. The human mind can't lift the mind out of the tomb. It must be shucked off, renounced, silenced. And then the invitation, Father, lift up the eye. And then the response, which comes as an experience, an upliftment over the sense mind into a place of stillness and a conscious awareness that everything is God appearing. And there you rest, you dwell there, as long as the experience lasts. Now, this becomes a working part of your consciousness. We learn not to make a decision unless we have first been lifted up. We learn that sometimes we're lifted up without even any effort, simply by reaching that place of readiness and extending the invitation, Christ does respond. I really am the resurrection. I have come to give you living waters. But as long as you were relying on the mind and content to rely on spiritual truths known mentally, Who was Christ to butt in and stop you? You have to ask. You have to come to the place of readiness. And coming to that place of readiness is the asking. Because when you let go, without words, without thoughts, that's how you ask. Without using any words or thoughts at all. That is the asking. Christ, the I, that is the resurrection, is always, always aware. When anyone, anywhere, lets go, the Christ is there to lift you up in the everlasting arms into the spiritual universe, so that you glimpse your real existence, where you really dwell. Each time you fall back into the tomb, it's not quite so permanent, because now you are consciously aware of the real. And so you can never be locked in that tomb again. You may forget for a few hours or a couple of days, but you can't ever really forget. Again and again you will be called back to that place of silence where I may lift you up. And so I am the resurrection. I am the way. I We are told in the wisdoms, is alone overcomes the world, which means I lift you out of the tomb. And what happens when you glimpse, feel, perceive on another level than the mind? Or let's put it this way, what happens when you feel and perceive the hidden, invisible, incorporeal kingdom with some faculty that has nothing to do with your mind? That's called realization. And every realization you have must form itself as your experience. This is what Joel learned. This was the great secret. This is why he was able to say, your good will always appear in the form necessary at the moment. It is not, however, a human good appearing, but a spiritual idea upon which you are placing finite interpretation. Yes, your realization of the infinite, invisible, incorporeal universe, your experience of it, your standing in it consciously, not with the mind, but with some other faculty, that experience then takes form as your body, as your home, as your companionship, as your supply. But that's just the mind placing a finite concept on that experience you just had. Now, if you don't have that experience, what does he tell us? I mean, it's not very nice to look at, not very pretty, but he's very plain. The experience of the Hebrews under Moses, under the law, under the world mind, is one of fluctuating human good. And this will continue to be your experience as long as you live only in the realm of things and conditions. Yes, but he goes on to say, when we live in the realm of spirit, we attain the eternal harmony of spiritual good. It will still appear as human good, but we won't be fooled. We'll know we have touched the divine. Now, the goal is to come out of the tomb. He is not here. He is risen. To rise out of the sense mind and its concepts permanently, so that you live consciously aware you are standing in the spiritual realm forever, never again returning to the tomb. Since I am the resurrection, you must come unto me, and I will give you the life. But you won't come unto me as long as you can still depend on the mind. Only when the mind has failed you so many times that you are sick and tired of it, will you let it go. That is the asking to which I, the resurrection, respond. I am the resurrection. You ask me by your prayer, not the words, but the action of stepping out of that mind, the action of letting it go, the action of standing still, actually the action of no action. No words, no thoughts. That's the invitation. that you give to I, the Christ at the center of your being, and then I am the resurrection. I lift you into the spiritual realm, right here, right now. We are entering the Christmas season. The reason for the season was to show you one who had come to the Christ and found the eternal life above the sense mind. This is your inheritance. That you might follow me. You can come into the Christmas of your inner being by allowing, letting I, in the midst of you, lift you out of the manger of the mind into the spiritual realm right now, right here. You see, it's time for you to have the Christmas experience. It's time to come out of the tomb. It's time to have the Easter experience, to be resurrected out of that tomb, out of that manger. And only I within you can do it. And only when you turn away from the sense mind. If you can see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, or smell it, it's sense mind appearing. And in the beginning, you will have to turn away. And I will resurrect you into that which you cannot see or hear. I will awaken in you another faculty which will show you the eternal spiritual realm. Above this sense life, says Joel, is the realm of spirit governed by love. Now he had risen. The invitation is extended to you. You, by your inner non-action, non-words, non-thoughts, extend the invitation back. Yes, I am ready. Lift me. And now I am still before your presence. And I, the resurrection, will lift you. In a moment ye think not. My dear friends, I know no other solution. I know that when this is attained, you never again will go back to the fluctuating pictures. Or if you do, it will be so short it will be almost unnoticeable, a day at most. My Christmas wish for you, each and every one of you, is that you may hear the voice down through the ages of Christ. Christ through me. Christ through Joel. Christ through Herb. Christ through Buddha. Christ through Jesus, Yeshua. Christ calling to you in the tomb and saying, I am the resurrection. I will lift you. I am your way. Blessings.